This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Video is sponsored by Voxy.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Jamie Lawler, and Zach Woods. Good evening, boys. How are we all?
Good, mate. We're back. The trio are back. It's nice to be back in it.
The three musketeers, they're all back in one podcast together, not with any special guests this time, but it's just pure blues tonight. How are we all doing? I've said that twice, actually.
We're good. We are. all you need to know tonight is we're good. We're just glad to be back.
It's fantastic to be back. Yeah, and obviously off the back of a 1-1 draw with Hull, Lukas Djukovic, what a man. Build the man a statue, build him anything that he wants, he deserves it. And we'll also be doing a preview for the Millwall game on Saturday. And also, just some more blues chat, because it has been a few weeks since we've done one. I did say that we were going to keep these a bit more consistently. It was about 5 months ago, in which we've only done about 2 episodes. Be sure to get your thoughts and suggestions in the comments. Be sure to get anything that you might want to ask us as well. Boys, let's kick it off. Jamie, do you want to kick us off with what you thought about the whole game last night and sort of what the performance was all about?
Sure. So you played away at Hull, you played away at a playoff team. I think you were always going to be under the cosh. I think you set up the team to be quite counter-attack on the, you know, we weren't going to be pushing as forward as we expect. We weren't going to be as front-footed. But let's be honest, apart from the hand of God itself and one decent save in the first half, but they hardly really got our goal as much, like in terms of Ruddy having to do anything. I think we did all right. I think we grew into it late second half, subs changed the game. And that's what you can say, really. It was all right. And then Duke just did what Duke does.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I definitely think, though, in terms of like the first half, I think we offered very little, to be honest, because Hull, even though they probably only had 2 chances, I mean, they had loads in the second half and were incredibly wasteful, in my opinion. Majority of the game until the goal, I thought we were incredibly poor. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, we just struggle to knock the ball about, don't we? We struggle. They pressed really high. That's the issue, is we tried to be that pressing high team at home, and we got to taste our own medicine tonight. The problem is they've got very, very, very good footballers. And it was not enjoyable for us as a team. So it is what it is. Like, it's a great point away from home. I'm positive about it because, let's be honest, when I looked at the team last night, and I'm very positive about Birmingham, I'm always like, we can get a result. But last night I thought, we're going to get tanked here. We're going to absolutely tanked. So to walk away with a solid point, resting a lot of our, you know, main starters as well, had a good rest last night. Some of them had a K on for 15, 20 minutes. You know, it's all systems go, hopefully, for Millwall away is what I'm looking at now.
Yeah, definitely. What did you make to the lineup then, Zach?
Yeah, it sort of just crossed my mind actually when you were talking about it and a question I was going to ask later. But the lineups are quite, they almost feel quite makeshift and varied at the moment. And obviously, that's of course because Mark Venus is fairly new to Blues. And not only that, but he's had a promotion, hasn't he? He's got to step up and now become a championship manager. So he's, you know, all these different things going on. I think defensively was a much improved defensive performance compared to that of the weekend against Southampton. Given the defence felt fairly makeshift as well, it was Buchanan, Laird, Drama and Iwu last night, wasn't it? So, you know, not one centre-half out of the four. So I thought defensively we were pretty decent. I agree with you, Tommy. I think going forward, we just seem to lack that edge at times, and it's something that we've said quite a few times this season and in the last 10 seasons. I think it's a tricky one because I was saying the other day, on paper, I think we've got a very, very good squad. And, you know, I think that back line are more than capable of, you know, not shipping 4 goals a game. And I think our front four at the moment, because most of the time we set up a 4-2-3-1, are capable of banging in 2-3 goals a game. So for whatever reason, things aren't hugely working at the moment. But last night was a decent performance. It's a big point away from home, to be fair. Even bigger game Saturday. But as far as a result goes, I think we can all agree at the start of the night we would have taken a point from the game.
Yeah.
Defensively improved going forward. I think there's still room for improvement.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I think we weren't actually too bad defensively, like you say, because I would say for the defence that we had with where Laird, Buchanan and Drama, three fullbacks, which is like going back to the sort of defending we had under Bowyer towards the end of that season, where it's just like chaos almost, but we defended really well. And one of the comments in the chat there has just said, like, you have on paper, you have a top 12 side. I would even argue we've got a higher team than that, really. Like, it's, I think they've underperformed. I don't think it's all necessarily their fault. There was a couple of comments on the live stream last night that were sort of saying Rooney's ruined this season, really, for the team that we've got. And Yeah, I kind of get that, really. It's that sort of perhaps some of the confidence that we've taken off of it, and games like Hull, who I thought they were okay. Like you say, Jamie, they've got some really talented players. Like, some of them are really good on the ball. Like, I thought Toufan for them was really good, really tidy on the ball. They had another player, I think he's called Omar or something. They're both Turkish. I know they've obviously got
They've got a strong side, Hull, a very strong side.
They do, yeah. Yeah,
I just don't know whether
they're that good, though, because compared to like players like Ethan Laird and Siriki Dembele on his day, I think, well, we can probably match that, really. And throughout most of the game, I just thought, nah, we're not doing that. I mean, it's just a bit of a shame that Duke has to bail us out, which is, obviously, it's great when it happens, but still, at the same time, it's like, yeah, we've got better players still, though. Not better players than Duke, I'm not saying that. I'm saying better players than Hull.
Well, I think this season we've got such a strong squad on paper. There's almost no reason why, given, you know, where we've been this year and at the start of the season, we shouldn't have been pushing for a top six place. You know, at the start of the season, everyone was so confident. We were putting in the performances to back up how strong our team is. And obviously the Rooney period happened, which, let's be honest, has ruined the season. It has ruined the season. We've gone from six to in a relegation scrap. So that's just what's killed it. It's what's happened. Now the job for Blues is safety and survival and just staying up. Because I think after the Plymouth game, or at the start of the season, or the Leeds game, one of them, we were all saying there's no way we'll be in a relegation scrap this season. And it happens every year. We say at the start of the season, there's no way it'll happen. And of course it happens. And something so pivotal happened this year in Rooney coming in. That's the reason for why we're down there. So the sole goal now has just got to be survival. I don't care how we play. I don't care what kind of performances we put in. We simply need the points. The good thing is we do have that game in hand against Middlesbrough, against the Middlesbrough side, who haven't been playing all too well lately.
Which is surprising, really, considering they made the semi-final of the League Cup and everything. But yeah, interesting. Michael Carrick obviously has done pretty well since he's been there, but form's obviously a big thing. I think that's the same for Millwall, really. I think they haven't got too much of a bad side. Lewis here in the chat saying we need to keep Duke and start Duke and Pritchard on Saturday. Thoughts on that?
I mean, I agree. I mean, I said, like, does Duke have 90 in him? I think he still can. I think he's still grafted. He doesn't have the press as high as Jay, as quick as Jay. But if you need to absolutely dug out a result now, and we're playing and we're fighting for survival, Lukas Djukovic epitomises Birmingham City's ability to do that.
Yeah,
as he has
definitely
done for season after bloody season. This man will just take it on his shoulders and just do it. Cross the ball into him. The amount of times I've said this on this podcast, he's still arguably in the Championship aerially as a striker, undefendable. And when you put the right ball into him, he's scoring. It's that simple. He is an absolute weapon. If you get Jay Stansfield running off him, Bakker running off him, you get all these players. George Hall's back now as well. He looked good last night. You get these players who've got something about them, some pace about them, running off him. You've got an actual proper weapon there that we can use. Although, we can bench him, but he showed last night he's still so effective. Then games when you're 1-0 down and you need to get a goal and you need to pull yourself back into it. Like you said, Tommy, we didn't really have much last night. Brought Duke on, changed the whole complexion of the game straight away. Was it 55 seconds he was on the pitch? Done.
One more or less,
goal.
I mean, you mentioned Hall at one point there, though, in the chat. I mean, like, he was clean through last night, and we'll have a quick chat about this as well. Like, the referee, Keith Stroud, yet again, giving us very poor decisions. I don't want to really dig him out too much, but there was just so many basic errors, I think, last night.
Let Jamie fly here. This is Jamie's moment. He loves a rant at a referee.
I've literally lost what I'm battling a chest infection. I can't get angry and start going off about Keith Stroud. Like, it is what it is. He's made a couple of mistakes against us, and that's okay. These things happen, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. It's okay. These things happen, and it's all right. You know, like, Diego Maradona clearly played last night, so that was a wonderful handball following into George Hall. Definitely didn't dive, did he? And he got tuck out when he was running for a goal. But that's okay. We'll ignore that as well. That's fine. But don't worry about it. It's okay.
I'm sensing a lot of tension over there, Jamie. I'm just sensing some vibes through the camera.
Are we all not used to having bullshit against us now with these refs? Because I can't be asked for it anymore. Like, the amount of times that a decision doesn't go our way, and I'm just like, this isn't right now. Like, come on. Ipswich the other week, Tyler Roberts in the box, he gets a shove in the back, goes down, the ref just says, basically, piss off and get off. It's just like,
Yeah.
I'm sick of watching I'm sick of it. Djokovic gets like Brazilian jiu-jitsu'd every week when he's on the pitch, guillotined and rear naked choked, and the ref just goes, "Now you're on, carry on." Like, I'm just done. But it's okay.
Some UFC moves.
I mean, recently, yeah, decisions have been going against us, but there will come a time where we'll probably have some decisions go for us. I mean, the one that stands out to me is the West Brom game at the start of the season under Eustace, that penalty, which was just never a penalty in a million years. And it turned the game around. So, you know, it's part of football. Things will go against you sometimes. Things will go for you. True, but I'm sure if we racked our brains, we could think of more. It's part of football, isn't it? It's what happens. I mean, you know, the last few games, yeah, things really have gone against us. That there's been, you know, the Sanderson one, the George Hall one, you know, some on one side, some on the other. That whole goal, there's no chance. Everyone agrees that was a handball. It was a clear handball. The fact that Lino hasn't seen it is honestly mental, because it's on his side. It's almost so clear, isn't it? So you can even see, like, it's so obvious, but it's one of those things. We'll have decisions go for us and against us. We're just a bit unlucky at the moment.
I mean we've had some terrible decisions at Hull particularly as well. I mean, there was the one a few seasons ago which probably is worse, but you can say, well, maybe because the linesman's on the opposite side, but I mean the one last night, the linesman can see it because he's just coming across, but still, like, I mean you're completely right about it being some decisions go some your way, and then you pick up on smaller ones sometimes. But yeah, it's just a bit of a frustration, really, when they are so obvious in front of you, really. But yeah, we've got a couple more questions and comments coming through. One from here from Gary says, last night the front four players that started didn't know when to press, which let Hull play as much as they did. As soon as we brought Stansfield, Sung Ho, Hall, and Pritchard on, Pritchard started the press, and you could see him encouraging the others to do so. For me, that made the difference. I mean, I completely agree with that. I think really what was a bit frustrating with players like Tyler Roberts, who I thought was, at the start of the season in particular, I thought, okay, you know, he's obviously battling with injuries. And when he did get injured, I thought, okay, this is kind of going to be where he came. But I thought he looked okay at the start of the season from what I saw from him and from things I've seen from him in the past as well. It was kind of like when we got Dembele, I thought, okay, we've got a great player on our hands here, if he just stays fit. But when Dembele stayed fit, he's been fantastic, you know, and he's had a bit of a dip lately. And I think that's just mostly down to confidence, I think, from majority of the season, which I think has still affected quite a lot of the other players as well. But Tyler Roberts last night, I just didn't see what he offered at all. You know, he's been injured, fair enough, but he's come back and he's not made any sort of impact. He's had hundreds of chances lately as well. He didn't even hit the target with one of them, you know, and he nearly missed the goal that was ruled out for offside as well. So I just don't remember what he did last night. I can't really think of things that he proved.
Yeah, he's a funny player, Tyler Roberts, because I personally really liked him at Leeds, and injuries have sort of played his career, really. He's another one of those players that, you know, there is a good footballer in there. And at the moment, we're just not quite seeing that at Blues. He seems to be, since coming back from injury as well, the forward who's really maintaining his position, because we've seen Miyoshi change, Stansfield change, quite a few, Dembele coming in out of the team, as well as Jordan James a little bit. So there's been quite a few changes. Tyler Roberts seems to be the one holding his position. Clearly, both Mowbray and Mark Venus have seen and see something in him at the moment, which is why he's holding his position. I mean, I do quite like him. I think he does go missing at times. I think that's the way to describe it, a bit absent. But again, there is, I think, a very good footballer in Tyler Roberts, and I think he deserves that chance to prove himself, because, as I said, he's been plagued with injuries his whole career. I want him to get that game time, but I also don't want him to get that game time at the cost of other players. For me at the moment, Tyler Roberts is probably best used coming off the bench at 60, 65 minutes.
Maybe, yeah.
Going back to the earlier point as well, I'd still probably say Duke is that player. Personally, I'd rather Stansfield start games. Duke come on at 60 minutes, 65 minutes, cause problems for the last 20 minutes and offer something a little bit different. In terms of the Pritchard one, I agree. Pritchard's the start of the weekend. I think last night when he came on, he was brilliant.
I think the only problem is with starting Pritchard is maybe some of the other players that we're going to leave out. You know, if starting him, does that mean we're going to have to bench James? Does that mean we're going to have to put a three in midfield and then play wingers? And we've only really got one winger, really, Dembele, really. So I think Miyoshi's more of an attacking midfielder. I think James is definitely a central midfielder. Dizel's a seeing midfielder. Sung Ho is probably a bit of a difference. He probably can go back and forth, but nobody's really a wide player apart from Dembele. So it's tricky, really, whether you put Pritchard in or not. I don't know. It's one of those, really. I think his impact from the bench, though, is fantastic. I think when he came on was like yeah, it was I can't remember if it was Gary who said it earlier. It says, yeah, he said the press that he was just encouraging others to do was really what made the difference. And I think I agree with that, yeah. But whether you start him, yeah, there's other players to consider, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have, isn't it? And it goes back to our earlier point in that our team should be performing and picking up more results than they are, because we do have those players. And I'd argue we have that depth these days. I mean, you look at the bench last night, we've got some good players on that bench. And it's a tricky one, because I think Jordan James, although he had a quieter night last night, I'm a big, big fan of Jordan James. And I think we're probably going to lose him over the summer. So I think he deserves as much game time as possible to get those millions up. Miyoshi, I think he's been very good recently. We've got such a strong team. We shouldn't be where we are. It's as simple as that. We just shouldn't. Hopefully Blues can really turn things around. And I think in the last few games, performances haven't been great. But if you look on, flip the coin and look at the positives, we kept Hull quiet last night. He was sick, feeling very strong going forward. We scored 3 against Southampton, who were right up there. Although performances haven't been brilliant, there are small positives to take from these games.
Yeah, I completely agree. The only thing I would counter that with, though, is saying that's relegation form. You know,
getting
good results and sort of stuff like that, but also playing shit. That is relegation form. But yeah, Jamie, what do you make to what we've just all been chatting about there?
Sorry, I was having a coughing and a sneezing fit.
I thought you were. I could see you sort of dabbing unintentionally this time.
Yeah, like just absolutely losing my chest. completely agree. I think it's scary that we're happy over, not playing one, getting a point, but that's where we're at again at the minute, and we've got to just accept that right now. I think in terms of players who can play wide, obviously Sariki Dembele can play wide one side. Bakker can play wide. Bakker does excellent when he's out wide, and he grafts. If you're talking of a player who goes back and forth and will work for the shirt, Bakker, I think he goes underrated with how hard that man works.
Yeah,
Jordan James, Grafts. I feel bad for him out on the left, really, because he is the central player and he's still giving it his all out there. So it's one of them, isn't it? It's like trying to find all these classy footballers now. We've actually got too many centre mids. When we've got a fully fit squad, we've actually got a tough choice to make now, and that's nice to have.
It is, yeah. It is also a trick, though, because if you bench one player, then you might probably should play Hall at one point. He's another player to consider as well, in that mix. And Alfie Chang, when he gets fit as well, even though he's not technically a first-team player, he's another option to put in there. So, I think that's probably another reason maybe why Junior Dixon's been kept quiet from the first-team action as well, maybe. So, I don't know. It's all one of those, really, where we've just got too many players at one point to choose from. And obviously, Bealey can drop into central defensive midfield as well if he needs to. I mean, he's been playing at centre-back a lot lately, but it's a tricky one. A couple of comments coming in. Evening, gents, says Josh. Evening, mate. How are we doing? Thumbs up, boys, says Sleepwalker. Rotherham, QPR and Huddersfield will be the deciding games, 100%. Those games are massive. Yeah. I think Saturday will be the biggest one, in my opinion, though, because that one's definitely a winnable game. They're a decent side-ish. No, yeah, I can't get my words out. They're a decent side, Hull. But I think that on Saturday, that's the win game that we need, really, to sort of push us back out of where we came from, really. I've got a question here saying, do you guys prefer Bielik in midfield or centre-back? Who wants to say that one? Centre-back.
Centre-back, 100%. And I have I think what Bielik did last season and the way Bielik started this season, he was so paramount to us playing well. Last season, he felt like the missing link. My problem is we've converted now from being the counter-attacking team to the team that wants to be on the front foot. I think Bielik's great. I love his height. I love what he's about. When we played him at centre-half, I think he's going to grow into that position as he's played there naturally anyway, and he'll be great. I think the issue is when you had Rooney and you had, obviously, different amount of times you'd be on a good counter-attack and he'd turn around on the ball and he'd just immediately stop
his attack.
And it's great, and he's holding the ball and he's trying to keep us in possession, but he's too safe. If you want to be an attacking team, he's a little bit too safe, because he will just... How many times did we see Stansfield run one way, Jordan James run the other, and he'll just look at them and turn around, and you're just like, oh, please.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, actually. Yeah, it's interesting to say that, because I think Mowbray said that before the game. He played him at centre-back, and he was just like, he's always noticing how he's doing exactly what you just said there. So that's the reason he did decide to drop him into the back line. Great minds think alike.
So we brought, obviously, Max, who's a friend of all of ours, like me and Tommy, Max's fiance came to the game. She's a Liverpool fan, watches all the games, and she turned around to us after a game one time and went, this Bielik guy, he's good, but he seems to be the only footballer I've ever seen that runs around in a circle and doesn't do anything with the ball. And I'm just like,
yeah, I mean, I think I'm probably in agreement with you, Jamie. I think I do prefer him at centre back. I like the almost sort of line of defence he offers before the actual defence in midfield. Yeah. I think he's probably been our most effective holding midfielder in quite some time at just naturally winning the ball and winning tackles. You've got Sunic and Kieftenbeld who were just workhorses and, you know, brilliant at winning the odd challenge, but then we'll put in a reckless one and pick up a yellow. I think Bielik's probably been our most stable holding midfielder in a couple of years. However, I do like him at the back. I think his first stint at Blues, he played centre back there, and I thought he was brilliant in his first stint at Blues. I loved him there, and I think he's a good centre half. It's tricky because we've got, again, defensively, we're pretty all right in terms of depth. I know we've lost Kevin Long, which we haven't actually talked about, but I know he's gone now, so we've got, you know, one less option. But I think it's nice that Bielik's got that versatility almost. But I think I'm in agreement with you, Jamie. I think I do prefer him at centre half.
I was mid coughing fit earlier when we were talking about defence and Kevin Long, and I was trying to bring it up, but I kept coughing. Why the have we sold Kevin Long?
I don't know.
This is something I can't deal with. We've had all these injuries, and now I'm literally looking at, you know, is it Toronto? Is he at? They've had two clean sheets since he started.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, I'm right,
he was.
Like,
yeah, yeah. He's been such an impressive, so good. He's just like the way he started. He was incredibly nervous, you could tell. In that first game he had at Bristol City, which was all over the place, you know, that second goal that he gives to Naki Wells, you think, oh God, if we signed here. But then he was quality, you know, he just turned into like solid, you know, nothing got past him, cleared everything that came his way, proper old school for defender. And then you think of the type of player that probably could sit alongside Bielik, you think, Kevin Long, you know, he'd just be like that type of quality player that we need to go along with him. Just a bit of a bad judgment, I think.
I'm this is a complete assumption, but I guess the decision may have been more in his court as opposed to Blues, because I just can't think of a world as to why Blues would let him go, because arguably he has been our best centre back this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, was it a free transfer to America? I'm not even sure.
I think so. Yeah.
So, you know, there's not really, I can't imagine he's on the highest wages. So I imagine Blues' return on Kevin Long is very minimal. And given he's probably been our best centre back, just hazarding a guess, I could be completely wrong, but I'd imagine the move was probably more wanted by him.
Yeah.
In compared to Blues. I think Kevin Long and Bielik would have been nice at the back. I know Sanderson hasn't, you know, he's not been great recently, but Sanderson's got that pace, which I think a modern centre back really needs.
Yeah, I get what you
mean.
And
I think
the
pairing of Bielik and Long maybe would have been a bit on the slower side. But in terms of getting rid of Long, it's a decision that I imagine was maybe more on his end, but he has been a big loss and is a big loss, because you're right, Tommy, he started slow, but certainly this season, the start and all the way up until he had that, you know, those few games he didn't play, he was our best centre-back.
No, 100%. I think there was I think there's a shout for him moving to America as well, obviously when that sort of side of the pond and everything. So I think it's just like a better life as well, because I was reading something the other day, I think it was Ashley Westwood is the old Villa player, or one of those type of players who's moved out there, and he's just said like he could have either gone to a lower league team and just tried to battle for relegation every season, or move to America where it's really amazing place to live and playing with all the old stars and everything. Like Messi's obviously playing in the MLS now and everything, so you could either play in England where you're trying to battle for relegation, or you can give your family a better life out in the States where playing amazing football at the same time. So that probably is another argument as well. So a couple of other sort questions coming in. What's your thoughts on Iwu last night? I know one game doesn't change everything, but would you start him? Asks Mark. What do you think about that?
I think he was fantastic last night, weren't he? Looked like last night was probably his best game in a blue shirt for me.
No, completely agree. Thought he was brilliant last night. I thought I was about to say the same thing. Yeah, best performance in the blue shirt for me.
I don't know.
The player that was promised.
I don't know whether I saw him much though. To be honest, I saw much more drama, definitely on this right hand side. He just kept Villagine quiet all night though. That's the thing. Well, mostly quiet because he did have a few chances. But I just noticed drama a lot more than Iwu. I don't know.
Is that a good thing for a centre half though? If you're not noticing him, do you know what I mean? Like, if you're not. If you're not turning around and going, oh, what are you doing, man? Like, if
you did get caught out a few times on the break. I definitely noticed that. But yeah. I think it probably is his best performance so far at Blues. But I don't know whether it was a great performance, if I'm being honest. I think drama is definitely the better one, in my opinion. I think it's the most more noticeable.
I think I'm going to use this opportunity to say I think drama's been our best defender all season. I think he's been brilliant. If there's one player I want us to keep hold of that's realistic come the end of the season, it'd be Cody Drama. I think Stansfield's been brilliant, but that's looking pretty unrealistic. I think Jordan James will go. I just think drama's had a fantastic season. He looks so assured. Ethan Laird, he's been a bit in and out of the squad. But for me, Cody Drummond's been so unbelievably consistent. He was excellent again last night. I thought those last few games before Eustace went, he was brilliant. I think every time he's called upon, he just looks so assuring and so fantastic. He was pivotal in Luton's promotion last season. He's still such a young lad. I think if there's one player we can keep hold of, I'd want it to be Drama.
No, I agree. Yeah.
You can bring in Cody Drama, and then you've got a right back partnership of Ethan Laird and Cody Drama. You could argue that could be the best in the championship.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. Drama is phenomenal. And I believe it's not ridiculously expensive to activate that clause off Leeds.
Not really, no. He's not Leeds' first choice, is he?
No. So it won't be stupid to activate that. It'd be great. And fully fit Laird, by the way, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
We've got actually seen the Laird that is fully fit and he's able to go like he's playing good at left back. I mean, he's an absolute unit down the right. He's quick. I just love how positive he is. He just makes me smile every time I look at him.
When you're saying again, though, that sort of right-back partnership there, it's just like, that is the team we have on paper, and we're still in a relegation battle, so it's a strange one, really. But yeah, I completely agree that Cody Drama's probably been our best defender this season, really, just because of the injuries and perhaps some of the inconsistencies as well.
Yeah, credit to Buchanan as well. Yeah, I mean, I was just credit to Buchanan as well because he's had to play out of position a few times this season. Again, a young lad. I thought he was decent last night. And it's nice to have all these options, you know. The team's changing so much because we've got so many good players. I genuinely believe that. Bakuna, I haven't even mentioned. I think he's probably been our player of the season. We've got so many good players. We should be challenging for playoffs. We shouldn't be talking about a relegation scrap. This Blues team just can't go down. It actually can't because we need to keep hold of. You say that, it's
Jamie. Don't jinx it, mate.
Listen,
it's Blues.
You say it.
Scale it back a bit. It's Blues. Come on.
I see. This is the thing. We've said it so many times on this podcast. We're in danger of going. We're so in danger of going down. We really are. And do you know what's different to this season compared to last? In previous seasons, we've had a few teams who have either had a points deduction or are just doing horrendously. I mean, I know Rotherham aren't doing great, but Sheffield Wednesday are picking up results. Stoke have got a result at the weekend. Teams around us are doing quite well at the moment, and that's the scary thing. In the past, we've relied on other teams' downfall to keep us up. This season, teams are starting to pick up points. I saw something where, at this point compared to last season, like the difference is 6 points or something. So the bottom three had like 6 less points or something like that. So, you know, teams are doing well. We're in danger of going down. So we just need to pick up results. We really do.
Well, as
you
we speak.
Fears, mate?
Well, I was just going to very quickly mention that Huddersfield and QPR both are playing tonight. So we do need to keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
My biggest fear coming into the end of the season, which sounds ridiculous, Rotherham away. Because they're probably already going to be relegated. And that is the biggest fucking banana skin you could ever ask for.
All right, that is so
that, if that is a slip-up game. If you're playing a team that literally are already down, they just want to drag someone down with them, that will be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're already scumbagged us out of 2 points this season because we should have won 1-0 because Jukovic was 100% onside and we drew 0-0.
He's still bitter about that.
Oh, would you look at that? I don't think the FL decisions didn't go out. Like,
God.
Yeah, we've had some stinkers, haven't we? But we just, as I said earlier in the podcast, I don't care how we play. We just need results, and then let's start afresh next season.
Yeah, it's just a shame we have to do that every season, though. To be honest,
every year, don't we? Every single year.
Do you remember the start of the year when I turned around and said, "Just get me 50 points. It's all I want. By March, I want to be at 50 points, and I'll be happy." I'm not even in 40 yet.
50 points. Honestly, 50 points would have you 10th right now.
And we've just gone through this with our squad on paper. We probably should be up there because we have a very, very good team when they're all not made of glass.
But let's put this into context, all right? So Norwich are currently beating Borough. They're on 58 in sixth now. If we were at 50 in your March theory, then you know the season is, that's how tight it is from. I think it's obviously changed from last night, but when I recorded my reaction, so Wednesday are on 38, just 1 point below us. But then it right up to about, where is it? Yeah, so Cardiff in 10th from 48. It's like, it's mental, like 10 points between that many positions. It's an incredibly tight division, and yet we're still down the bottom of it. And I don't even look at those teams and think, yeah, they're better than us. Like Cardiff, they were the boppings at the start of the season.
Yeah, Cardiff are weird. They'll go on a run of brilliant results and then they'll slip up. We say it every year. I think the difference between this year though and previous years is we've got the right people and the right owners at the club, and that's what makes me more hopeful for seasons to come compared to, you know, in the past. So I know a big mistake has been made this year, a very big mistake. It's ruined our season, the Rooney appointment and Gary Cook and the board deciding to make that decision. It's ruined things. However, they seem to have learned from their mistakes. They could have done the same thing again, got Lampard in instead of Mowbray. They haven't. They've gone with someone with plenty of experience. And hopefully, you know, all well and good, Mowbray recovers and is well and can take us into next season. And hopefully we can finally push on a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
It just would be so Blues, wouldn't it? It'd be so Birmingham City to finally get the takeover. Everything around the club's been great.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And then go down.
Yeah.
It's such a Birmingham. It's like an anti-Netflix documentary, wouldn't it? It'd just be unreal.
It would. We say typical Blues every season, don't we? But I just want that saying to be in the past. I want to stop saying typical Blues and say, oh, this is a different Blues. Brilliant. But
I know.
I'll have to see what next year brings.
Yeah,
the next three games are crucial for me. Sorry, Tom. Yeah.
No, I completely agree. I was sort of going to segue it onto that anyway, because with the next three games, we've got Millwall away on Saturday. Then we've got Borough and losing again tonight on the Tuesday night. And then we've got Watford, who are also losing tonight at Swansea as well.
Exactly.
Like there are teams that we can get points against. And the thing is, like, I think we probably good results to get a one against Hull last night. I think we can beat Millwall. I think we can beat Borough. And I think we can beat Watford. I definitely don't think that they're games we're going to lose. I think the only ones that in the run towards the end of the season we possibly could slip up is Preston, Leicester and Rotherham, and maybe Norwich on the last day, but we should be safe by then. Like, the team we've got and everything that's built around the club this season, we can't go down. Like, surely not. I mean, like, Josh has just put this in the chat. It's like, how much do you think we'll need to spend in the summer to give this team that they can push higher in the league? And I'm thinking, I get where he comes from that, but also at the same time, we've got good enough players to at least be mid-table. So I agree that we probably could spend a bit more. But I think, though, with the spending that we've done this summer and everything, we probably don't have to spend much, you know, really, considering the bargains we got for the players.
No, and the owners did say that the summertime is when we will spend. So if we're spending on top of already what is a pretty decent team, I mean, don't get me wrong, as we said, Jordan James is probably going to go, Stansfield's probably going to go, there will be players leaving. However, having said that, we've still got the likes of Laird, Sanderson. You know, we've got George Hall, of course. We've got decent players. Bakuna, we've got a good team. But if they stick by their word, which I'm sure they will, and really invest in the summer, I think that's just even more reason to be excited for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see one of the biggest summers, I think, for a long time in Birmingham City transfer. It is going to, I think there's something like 11 to 13 players out of contract anyway, isn't there?
Mm.
It's going to be, I mean, apart from Djukovic, give him a contract right now for next year. And I will die on that hill. Give him a contract. Just don't, I don't want him to leave the club. Let him get to 10 years and let us have him as a testimonial. The love of God, the man deserves it.
We've been in need for a testimonial for quite a while now. I know there's obviously the UB40 thing after the Preston game, which will be good. It doesn't have Ali Campbell in, obviously, so it's not proper UB40 in my opinion. But yeah, I think that's sort of the things that we quite like, you know, because we never had one for Jude. And if we don't have one for Duke and he ends up going to like Blackburn or somewhere like that, it's just feel like that could have been something, you know, it could have been like really proper for us, you know, because we very rarely have things like that where we can have just like a bit of a chill out sort of game, if that makes sense. You know, even in the last few seasons, like when we come down to the last game of the season, either we've just survived the game before or like are trying to survive still. I mean, like the favour's been in mostly our way for the last few seasons. I think Bristol City was probably the last one where it was sort of out of our favour and we had to win and they had to lose sort of situation. But still, just like a nice last game of the season where we're safe, very comfortably safe. And if Djukovic's testimonial is something like a last game of the season in the future, then let it be where we can have like an enjoyable day, you know what I mean? And it's just going to be like one of those, it's just, that's what I want, really.
Don't make us have to try and stay up against a Norwich team who are probably pushing playoffs.
Yeah, they've just moved into thick for that goal.
We could get to a point where Norwich need to win to get playoffs and we need to win to stay up. That is not the game we want to be at.
Because that'll be, that'll be very difficult game to win as well.
But if I'm being positive and I'm going out on a limb here, I'm hopeful for 7 points out of the next three. I'm hopeful that we can do something at Millwall.
Oh, definitely.
The game in hand against Borough, and then Watford, let's be honest, they're in free fall. They're probably not going to have a fucking manager by the time we play them. So, there's a good chance.
We're due for a win against Watford, I think. I don't know about Borough, because they can still pull something out of their hats. I think they're kind of in a situation like us. But I don't rate Watford at all. I don't think QPR are very good. Millwall as well, you know, they're in teams who, not great, really. I think Watford, though, like the type of dodgy games they've really got over us. And you think, like, come on, we must beat them at this point. They're not even, like you say, Jamie, they're probably ain't going to have a manager by that time. You know, they're just, like, in total meltdown. And we'll probably still lose 2-1.
The league's so tight, though, as well. The minute 2 weeks
unbelievably
ago,
tight.
It switched away. We were 6 points clear. We were 6 points clear of the drop, going, okay, 2 wins at home. We've got some good breathing room. That was great. 2 weeks later, every team has decided around us that they remember what football is and they've started to play again. And now we're in the bin again and I'm literally like, what is happening?
I know.
How in God's name have Sheffield Wednesday pulled 4 wins back to back off, by the way? Where's that here from?
I was about to say, I think the Wednesday thing's been the scariest thing because whilst it seemed like there was only one place left and you think, oh, there's 6-7 teams in the mix here, surely it won't be Blues. I think Wednesday picking up points now is like, oh wow, another spot's opened up for relegation. Rotherham are dead and buried. So this is a scary thing, and I just don't want Blues to have to rely on other points. Just I want it to be in our hands. I want to go into the last game or two with the job done, and we have winnable games coming up. This is the biggest point of the season now. This is the biggest period. We need everyone to just show up and perform.
No, 100%.
We've still got some players to come back. We're going to have players coming back from injuries, players coming back from suspensions. We just need to get through the next, 10 days of 3 games. That's going to be the test of our character at the minute because our squad is kind of thin in defence.
Yeah.
And that's the issue for us. Like, Laird back at full fitness is great, but has Laird got the legs for 270 minutes in 10 days? Because if he gets injured, I fear our back line. Mark Roberts coming back could be the most pivotal part for us right now. Having a Mark Roberts back at centre half, as much as people don't rate him, and I have been one of his biggest critics, don't get me wrong, I feel like he could have something. If you're playing a Millwall team on Saturday, who usually have absolute weapons in the box for corners,
they are a tall team.
You're going to need a Mark Roberts at some point this season to battle for Rotherham away, the banana skin game. Mark Roberts is probably pivotal because they're just going to put an absolute shit house up front and go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Get people more quiet.
I think the I think the thing with the Millwall game in particular, though, is the fact that they're just going to be brutal like they always are when we play them at the Den and everything. So I think Duke should start for that game, really. And we'll get onto the Millwall bit in a bit. But just before, I want to have like a little bit of a quiz here because I've just thought of this off the spot, really. But Lukas Djukovic obviously scored again last night. And it just seems like a bit of a theme that he seems to be able to get us out of relegation zones. So I'm going to try, and you might struggle with this a bit, but try and think of as many different scenarios from over the seasons that Duke has scored to get us out of relegation zones.
Oh, that's it. If this was asked to you, Tommy, you'd be unreal at it. I know you could name him like that.
I reckon I could probably be the adjudicator. Because what I'll do is if you do like a hand, because obviously if you say one answer at the same time, but I'll see who can think of the most. And feel free to join
so
in.
So when you say games to get us out of relegation, what are you saying? Like the last three games of the season?
I'm saying like impactful games where it's like that goal sort
made
of swayed
a big difference.
Yeah. I think without like the points or the win, then we'd have been in trouble.
So obviously Bristol City Chairman scored. There was, that was Grounds, wasn't it, that got that header. There was a header, was that Huddersfield?
He missed the penalty that game, actually. Duke
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Did McGomer get the other one that day?
Gardner got the other one that day.
Gardner, that was it. McGomer won the penalty, I think.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
My memory's so bad. You kill me here, Tommy.
There's one that's really well known because it literally was on the last day.
Was it the Fulham game?
Yes, so Zach's got Fulham. 1 point.
I said it before you, Jamie. Game's the game, mate. Game is the game. I'll take that. 1-0, Zach.
Yeah. Get in. Come on, Jamie. You've got to get, like, you've got to get those answers in quick.
I am way too ill for these mental quizzes, but let's go.
How many goals are you thinking of, Tommy?
I reckon there's a good 8. That's what I'm saying.
Bloody hell.
8 games.
That wouldn't surprise me, to be fair. He is an absolute unit, isn't it?
There's a couple in one season. That's what I'm thinking. Because we were in a bit of trouble one season where we were bottom at Christmas. And then he scored a couple of times in some games where he just really did one. There's one in the comments if you want to actually shout it.
Derby. Okay, fair enough. I should get that as well, being Derby based, shouldn't I? Oh, that's poor.
It's 2018, I think it is, because the ball, I can't even remember who crossed it. I think it's Gardner who does it. He does that.
Yeah, it's the diving header. Yeah. Is it the diving header? Yeah, that was unreal, that header. My God, that was unreal. Go on, Tommy, name a few, because me and Jamie will be here like looking like idiots for ages.
Yeah, I'll be 3 hours long.
The only other one I was thinking, he got that... actually, no, I'm not even going to say it just in case it's completely wrong or embarrass myself. So, Tommy, you go ahead, mate.
So, there's a couple that immediately spring to my mind. So, obviously, there's the Fulham one. There's the Derby one that Josh has put in the chat there. There's also one against Charlton in the lockdown season where we're a goal down. Boyer's the manager for Charlton and literally it's on the line and he just manages to clip it in. So, he draws 1-1. So, that was a massive goal for us that season because we were in real trouble because I think Charlton were literally like on the verge of like getting above us at that point, so there's definitely that one. There's also Burton Albion in the 2018 season at home. We're a goal down. I think Lloyd Dyer scores for them or something like that, and he gets a header in from the back post like that. There's another one. I think it's the 2021 season with whoever the hell was at the end of that season. Reading, obviously, when Bowyer's first game. He did the header in that one.
Yeah, I remember that one now. Yeah,
how many is that? That's like 6, I think it is, something like
six
that.
Six or so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mate, just build the man a statue. That's the takeaway from this topic. Build the man a statue.
But also, isn't it not, I don't know, we were probably a bit more safe in the Monk season, actually. Yeah, I think because he did score some important goals. Yeah, he scored some important goals towards the end of that season.
As well, hasn't he? Gary Monk joined there. Oh, sorry, am I good?
I think, you're coming back very slowly. it's like you're going through an invisible wall.
dodgy Wi-Fi, but he's joined Cambridge, hasn't he? Gary Monk, hasn't he? Which I think's... didn't think he'd get back into management. But...
Yeah, there's another one against Derby, actually, for Duke. So there's the one in the 2018 season, but there's also the one where he's wearing green in the Bowyer season.
Oh,
so
of course, yeah. He scores twice in that. Yeah, fair enough. He likes goal against Derby, doesn't he? There you go.
Good-headed goal against Derby. Yeah, he just, absolutely. Honestly, like the amount of moments that he's got for us over the years, and people say, oh, don't build him a statue. It's like,
who else? He's going to do it against that.
It's
Djukovic, back post a header for 1-0 on Saturday and we win the game. I'm done. I'm like, that is it. He's the GOAT.
he did it at the start of the season with the Leeds, the penalty against Leeds, you know, because those are big moments, like genuinely big moments, not just big moments in certain games that can get us a win or whatever. You know, genuinely big moments. He's always there, like literally no doubt about it. Every single time you need him, you ring him up and he'll come and get you a win.
Well, the clip's so poignant last night, and I thought it when he came on, and you verbalised it when you said, "Oh, like you were talking about Duke a few minutes before he got the goal." You know, you just get a feeling when you hear Blues are making a change and Duke's coming on in the 80th minute. You just get a feeling, don't you? And you know, he's certainly made up for when he nearly sent us down with Bolton, hasn't he? So, absolute legend, building that statue.
The thing I love the most about whenever you sub a Duke on is that clearly whoever's played up front for Blues in the first 80 minutes has run about, pressed. The centre halves are getting tired and they see Duke walking on. You know, they're both looking at each other going, "Oh, for fuck's sake, who wants him? I can't be on." Because you know the next 10 minutes is just going to be absolute shit house. Cross, corner. Like, it's just going to be horrible from the other side.
If I was a defender, the last player I'd want to see coming on is Lukas Djukovic, honestly. You know,
I don't know how you defend against him. I genuinely don't, because I've seen some proper good championship players, actually. Like, I remember Aidan Flint a few seasons ago with Bristol City. He was quality.
He's got like 9 goals or something in one season. Like,
he really troubled him that game. And I think that he troubled Millwall last season as well with when he just went round the keeper, didn't he? And that's for Djukovic standards. That's quality for him, you know, from his feet. But, you know,
when we had Robbo on the pod. And Robbo was the assistant manager with Millwall, weren't he? And we spoke about Duke, me and Robbo, for about 20 minutes. And he said, "I know full well what happens when Robbo comes on. When Duke comes on, I literally got someone to stand on the back post and stand on Djukovic. Because I know exactly what's going to happen. And it is horrible."
Definitely. A quick update on some of the scores. QPR are winning, but Huddersfield are losing. So we are 20th at the moment. There's only three teams that are on 38. But that win for QPR, it's taken them below us to 16th in the table. So it is incredibly tight.
Who are they playing?
I can't remember who they're playing now. West Brom. Fucking hell, I knew they'd fucking win that one. Of course.
Typical, isn't it? Typical. Literally.
So yeah, let's move ahead then to the Millwall game, in which could be a very must win, particularly if everybody fucking wins. That's the thing, because like, I know that obviously a few other teams, you know, they've got tricky games and everything. I think Stoke have got Leeds on Saturday, or am I thinking of the other team? No, they've got Preston. They just got beat by Leeds last night, actually. So, yeah, I think they're probably one that we could probably be okay with, but we really need to win on Saturday. So let's have a puns at who do you think should be in the team for the starting 11. I think we already know who one person is going to be.
John Ruddy, that's for sure. I think we'll start with Ruddy. We don't have a lot of other options, do we? So Ruddy for sure. I think the two fullbacks are going to have to be Laird and Drama. Are we all in agreement with that?
Yeah.
And then centre-halves is where it might get a bit trickier. I mean, Tommy, what are you thinking for centre-halves?
Well, actually, I probably would argue you'd have Drama at right-back and left back for Buchanan, and then you'd have Laird on the right side of the centre back partnership, and then you go for Iwu on the left side, just because I think they're a bit closer to their natural positions. And playing Buchanan out of left back, I don't think is quite a smart move. But whether he's going for pace,
I don't know. What about Bielik, centre half? Is he fit now or no? Is he out for a few weeks?
I think of something about he's pulled a muscle in his stomach.
I think he's torn an abdominal muscle. I think that's what's happened. Yeah,
I knew it was out, but I wasn't sure how long for. But I think, you're probably right. I think Iwu deserves to start after his performance last night. And Laird, as I know Buchanan sometimes plays centre half as well, but I think probably Laird would be more appropriate if we're going with Drama and Buchanan. Yeah. I think that's pretty nailed on for the back four. And then it's the front six, which is always tricky, isn't it, with the amount of options
we've got. The players we've got in midfield. I don't know about you, but I definitely would have Dizel as the sitting midfielder. I've been impressed with him.
I've been impressed. Yeah, for sure. He's almost like a more of a technical holding midfielder, isn't he? Which is something I think is always quite nice, because I think it helps with that transition from defence to attack almost. So yeah, I fully agree with Dizel.
I don't know about the others though. That's where it gets tricky for me.
Paik has to start for me. Paik is class.
He looks good. He looks good when he comes on, doesn't he? He looks strong. I know he started one or two as well.
It shows in the two games we lost recently, We fell apart. And I know Southampton, actually. I'll take Southampton out of it because we went down to 10 men. Ipswich away, we fell apart the moment we took the Zellan pay off. The moment them two got subbed, the game changed.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with Pape, to be fair. I think he's looked good in a blue shirt so far. It's tricky because, like, players, we've got a squad as well who are comfortable in other positions. I know Bakker can play deeper as well. He can play further forward. We've got wingers who can play more centrally, and central players can play out wide. Like, I think everyone's ideal Blues team right now would look very, very different.
Yeah, that is true. Because what I'm trying to think in my head, what I would quite like, but I can't really work out the wide areas. What I'm going with is that back line. Does Ellis the city midfield? Does at least one of them? But I also want Pack and Paker and Pritchard in the team, but also as attacking midfield. I don't want to push them out wide, so you'd have like a bit of a three maybe. But then I also want Stansfield and Duke up top together because I feel like that might work. But then again, who else can go? Maybe Dembele on the left and sort of do like a bit of a struggle, but there's not much of a formation there then, is there?
Yeah, I think for me, Bakker has to start as well. I've just been so impressed with Bakker all season. I think if I had to say a non-negotiable, I think Bakker would be mine. I think he was very good against Southampton. I just think he's had a brilliant season. I think Bakker's someone. We're not going to be able to agree on something, are we? Because there's just so many options, and
it's tough.
I think Miyoshi probably starts for me at the moment. Stansfield definitely starts. I think Stansfield's the non-negotiable as well for most people.
Ricky does make a good point here, actually, though. There's not enough of those type of dog fighters in the team, which I agree with, actually. We mentioned this on the stream last night, is that we don't have a Kifton Beld in the team anymore. We don't have that player who's going to be just like... Because I think the thing, what we could perhaps try and lure sort of the Millwall team into, particularly if they're up for a bit of a fight or a bit of a scrap, is you could try and give it to Dembele and make them look a fool on the left and just get past them every time and just get Duke in the box and then try and scrap it out on the attack. Because that's what I think we're going to have to do towards the end of the season. I just don't think we can play up with this possession-based football for too long and not be on the end of a defeat where it's going to be like, oh, we really, really should have won that game. So I'm thinking if we try and put the focus for the Millwall players onto Dembele and try and get them riled up, basically, because he's particularly on the left, and I was saying again this last night, that when you give him the ball on that chance there, he will just make people look like fools, really. So I think that's a possibility. But I want Duke and Stansfield both to play because I think they can work off together. But then again, there's no one else that fits in with that type of formation.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, personally, Duke, I wouldn't have Duke starting purely because I think he's more of an impact on 70 minutes compared to minute one. And I think they were probably quicker, more technical players. I think Duke's just perfect for 70 minutes. Don't necessarily think he has the stamina to keep up with a 90-minute game. Or, if we're subbing him off at 70, I'd rather the roles be reversed and he's coming on at 70. But it's so true. There's so many options. And we've said it at the start, but it's a nice thing to have. It genuinely is a nice problem to have because chances are, if you're struggling who starts in the starting lineup, your bench is probably quite strong as well. And especially with George Hall back as well.
Well, yeah, it definitely works with the team we've currently got to have five subs. Do you know what I mean? Because we can just rotate everybody in and out almost. That midfield, it's like completely different, and we can have like a completely revamped midfield going forward into the last few minutes.
Jordan James, we haven't even mentioned. I mean, I think I'm probably, personally, I'd want Bakker starting. I'd probably have something like James, Miyoshi, maybe Dembele. I'd even happily play Bakker at holding midfielder. He's played there numerous times before, looks strong. But then I guess if you're going with Dozer and Bakker, you don't have that, sort of Bielik type holding midfielder. Someone like Sunjic maybe better. There are so many options. we could not come up with a squad. We'd need to sit down for like an hour to decide our squad because there's no way we could do it now.
He has got a bit of a difficult job. I apologise, Mark Venus, for your squad selection the other night. I do think it was a bit difficult thing.
It's not easy.
West Brom have equalised in the game, so I'll just quickly check where that puts them back in the table because it'd be interesting to see how far they drop from 16th to... So they're 19th with a point now, but they could go back below us if West Brom stopped acting like dicks and just decide to win the game. It's the only time I actually want them to win. That's fucking typical.
I don't understand why QPR was so happy to get rid of Zell to us because he's such a good footballer.
Maybe, yeah. They're a weird side as well, QPR. They've gone from being like, you know, up the top of the Championship and then right back down again. They were at a disaster with what's his name again? Ainsworth, that's it. Yeah,
I think the Dazelle's decision for them was probably financial because he was their fourth most played player in terms of minutes when he left QPR. I imagine it was probably, you know, finances needed because needing him just off the books. But yeah, he's been brilliant for us so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Comments here from Peter saying, I don't get the Dembele drive. We need a team approach. Isn't a player, isn't a team player. He goes for Ruddy Buchanan, I think that is, Laird, Drama, Bielik, Paik, Hall, James, Duke, Stansfield and Miyoshi. Yeah, I just think though, we might have looked this team, and I completely get it, like there are the individuality of certain teams is sort of phased out nowadays. But I quite like that. I quite like having a player that he can just, like, particularly going forward. And I know people get frustrated with when he doesn't come back, Dembele. And I was saying this last night if you were on the stream. That really, you know, it just, he's like a proper, West Brom are winning now, actually, getting it. So I just like it when you give balls, they give the ball to the player and he just always takes it forward. And at the start of the season, he did. So I don't know. I kind of agree with your lineup. I think it's an interesting one to play. Hall and James.
I think if we go back a month or two and everyone had to say who's the best player currently at Blues, a lot would probably say Dembele. Mm. I understand he's on a bit of a dry patch at the moment and people are questioning his work rate, but he has the ability. He showed it at the start of the season. He's able to pick up the ball, take on three or four players and lob it in the top corner, which I don't think there's too many Blues players who are able to do that. Would I start him at the weekend? Maybe, maybe not. But Dembele has proven he's a very, very good footballer. And although, as I said, some people are questioning, you know, team player and energy levels, effort levels, regardless, he's got to be involved in the Blues setup in some way, whether that's starting or coming on.
What are you going for then, Jamie? I see you pondering.
I think I'll go Ruddy in goal, obviously, as if you're not starting at Bridge, are you? Let's be honest.
Nah.
I like I'll go Drama. I'd go Drame and Iwu in the middle, only because Drame is taller. I feel like I'd rather a taller-ish centre-back. And Laird's lightening up that one side, Buchanan's fine the other side. I'm definitely 1 million percent going Paik and Dazelle in the middle as the two in the 2-3-1. And this is where it gets tricky at this point. If Jay starts up front, I love Duke, but I agree with Zach. I bring Duke on late and cause issues.
Yeah.
At that point, I go Koji on the right because my logic for this is, as it happens in every game now at the minute, is Koji drifts inside on his left foot and it gives Laird that space to just absolutely drive because he does.
It's good you pick Laird, up on that, yeah.
The equaliser came against Southampton for 3-3 because Laird just full pelted down that side. And that's where it gets tough. Baka is non-negotiable for me as well. Baka for me, though, I start him on the left wing. And I put JJ maybe in the middle because Jordan James and Stansfield have a good connection between them. So I think JJ going off Stansfield or either or works. But that's my 11 is pretty much the one that we go with at the minute.
I think the formation,
I'll bring him on.
Yeah, I think the formation is pretty similar to what a lot of other people see because it seems more us, doesn't it? That type of formation, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and we've got the classy footballers to play that formation when they're fully fit. We've got good enough players. I mean, Paik Sung Ho. I hope that's how you say it. I think I've just said it quite late.
I just called him Sung Ho now.
Yeah. He just, the way he's controlled, the way he can just take three players out of the game like that, it's just something we haven't had for a long time in the middle of the park. And I mean, we're not even mentioning that Pritchard's on the bench, Hall's on the bench. Like, this bench now is, looking at the bench last night, like you just said, it was one of the strongest benches I've seen for a long time down the Blues. I was like, what is this? We made a four subs out of nowhere last night in the game. The whole must have been like, what is going on?
I think that's why they sort of sat off a little bit towards the end of the game because they missed loads of good chances and then they had this sudden big sort of flurry of substitutes and then they were like, right, well, we'll probably sit off, but then you can't do that with certain Blues players, you know, like Hall was getting at them relentlessly. Pritchard put the ball in for Duke and Duke obviously is just Duke. That's where, like, I particularly was a bit frustrated with the fact that we just didn't go for it early on last night. And, you know, it's that we need that sort of impact from the bench to do that later on as well, if it does come to that point. But yeah, I completely get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably look similar to you, Jamie. I think I'd have the same back four and goalkeeper and two holding midfielders. I think I'd want Drama at right back just because I think he offers quite a lot going forward. So I quite like him on the right, but I agree with that back six for sure. And pretty much, yeah, the same. I think my front four would probably be James, Miyoshi, Bakuna, Stansfield. I think that's what I'd go for on the weekend.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a few other people in the comments just putting their suggestions in for the lineup. I think back line's pretty much sorted. And then it's a bit of a debate whether you play certain players like Pritchard in or maybe Miyoshi or whoever. I think Dizel's like a... from seeing through people's lineups, they all seem to have put Dizel apart from a few. But yeah, and then Duke and Stansfield, whether you play them as a two or you play them individually. There's a couple of people saying play Duke just instead of Stansfield. No one's saying Tyler Roberts. There's a few other players that probably aren't getting mentioned. But yeah, it's interesting to see and work out what people's ideas for and everything. But just to finish up this podcast, boys, let's go for a prediction and see where we could go from that on Saturday.
I'll start. I'm going to go 1-1. I think we'll pick up a point. I think the Den's always quite a... I always sit on the fence. You know me. I sit on the fence.
Boy's back.
I sit on the fence. Now, I genuinely think a point. I think it's going to be one of those games where teams are scared to make mistakes because there's so much riding on it for both of us. Mm. I take a point, to be fair, at Millwall. I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, Ezo's also put 1-1 Blues and Trev's put 2-0 Blues. Jamie, what are you going for, mate?
2-0 Blues. That's exactly what I've got in my head. 2-0 Blues. I think we get a goal in the first half, hold off, and then just counter-attack. Nice goal. I could see someone like a George Hall maybe off the bench just actually bursting through, playing it off, goal. Not something simple like that. I think we'll be under pressure a lot. I think it's going back, last time I'm going to go back on myself, back to the team we just spoke about, the starting 11. I wouldn't be begrudged if you dropped Miyoshi because they are a massive physical team.
Yeah,
and he does bring in a Duke to start, or a George Hall, or a Pritchard in the middle, and then move JJ out to one side and back of the other.
Yeah,
but
fair enough, yeah.
I don't see us losing. I think defeat can't be an option. Defeat, we can't lose on Saturday. Because we are literally in so much danger if we don't.
We can't lose... many until the end of the season, if any, really, because of how tight the division is. Yeah, you just can't lose. That's the one thing we can't do, and that's why last night was such an important point, really, because, I mean, tonight, had we have not won, we would have been, if I can work my maths out, which is usually pretty shit, we would be... Oh, no, all the results are going our way, so, yeah, technically, we would still be above them all. Oh, no, Queen's Park Range, QPR would be above us, we'd be 20th, had that not gone our way, but... Yeah, and then obviously if results don't go our way tonight, then we still could be in a bit of trouble. We would be fourth bottom, but still, yeah, it's a tricky one. So it is a must-win game on Saturday, actually, I believe. You know, obviously a point would be okay, but, you know, it's the business end of the season because of how tight it is. You know, there is a possibility of us going second bottom down. That's the crazy mathematical situation we find ourselves in, so... I don't think we can hold a clean sheet. I think we can get a few, maybe. So I'm going to go 2-1. I've seen there's a couple of 2-1s in the chat here. Josh is saying 2-1. Mark's saying 2-1. Peter's saying 3-1. I think Duke will start, so I'll put him in for another goal. And, you know, when you play players in form and, you know, who have made important moments in the game previously, I think then you keep them in the team. So maybe Pritchard as well. So I think Duke and Pritchard for goals I'm going to go for.
I agree.
I think we just can't... it's like proof of last night, really. Yeah, we can't defend. We can't keep them out. Obviously, it was a handball, you know. I didn't see it much at the first point, but it just was. Everybody knows it was off handball.
It's terrible. I don't, because we're so close to the end.
We'll go on for another hour if we get onto this, honestly. We actually will.
I mean, the only thing, I fully agree, we can't keep a clean sheet at the minute. I take it back, I think 2-1 as well, because I think we'll go 1-0 up. They'll Superman punch John Ruddy or something, and then they'll score in the EFL and be like, yeah, sound goal. And then we'll have to just shit out it later.
Yeah, sound
goal. The way it's going at the minute, like, I expect some kind of dog shit thing to happen where we're going to concede to it, and they'll just be like, yeah, fine. No worries, mate. What, Southampton? Oh, what, 96th minute? Oh, you give a goal kick now. The line over the other side thinks it's a corner, so you can actually have a corner for it. Oh, we've lost, guys.
He's pulling back all the other ones now from the early in the season. And that one in 2008. Yeah, that one there, you can fuck off.
I just can't, no.
Oh, God.
I just want VAR in the championship, man.
No, don't, because that'll piss me off then as well. I don't want VAR in the championship.
That's a debate for another day, that one.
We'll do that in the end of season podcast. But that's not one for tonight. I'm going to get annoyed with that. Bastard. But yeah, that's it for tonight. We're going to ignore Jamie's blatant trying to wind me up with VAR, giving it the chef's kiss. Thank you everybody for joining in on the chat. A couple of people I just want to point out before we leave, just a couple of top commenters. FPL Ezo, thank you for your contribution tonight. A couple of other people, Susan, regular viewer here, Peter as well, Josh, Harley as well. Harley, can you say Harley? Yes, I can say Harley. Okay. Reese as well. A couple of other people. Sorry if I'm not mentioning your names, but it's lovely to have you all back listening in to everything that we have. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. Thank you, Jamie and Zach. The Three Musketeers are back. Hopefully try and do a few more podcasts a bit more consistently this time. We will be doing one, hopefully Saturday night, actually, so because I'm not going to the game. The reason we do them after the day after is because it usually just take me a couple of hours to get back from the game and everything. So we'll try and do that Saturday night. So get that penned in your diaries. But for the moment, whilst we just wrap up, thank you for watching and keep right on.
Keep right on.
Come on, Jamie. Right. Keep right on. It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.